Welcome back to another episode of Café con Chisme on the delicious vinyl radio station powered by Dash. I'm Yaz.
And I'm Seb.
And welcome back to another episode, y'all.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
We're going to do it a little bit different today, but you'll wait and see what surprises we have in store for you.
I love surprises.
I love surprises, too. They used to call me Sorpresita when I was little.
I hate you for that.
No one ever called me that. How are you doing?
I'm so good. I'm amped. I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I want to jump and kick my leg. I love it.
What a radio VJ. I'm going to call you Rick D's.
Rick D's in the morning. Oh, my God.
The weekly top 40.
With Ellen K. Remember Ellen K?
Yes. Ellen K always reminded me of the peach-colored crayon. I don't know why.
I don't even know what she looked like in real life.
Me neither. She looked like the peach-colored crayon to me. So, ¿cómo estás?
Estoy aquí, amándote, queriendo.
Okay, how are you, bitch?
I drank 2 Café de Ollas iced before coming here today, which I think is why she is Letitia.
You're like, I am here today to share with you.
I run a podcast every week called Café con Chisme.
Oh my God, you're being so weird. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know, we really are.
And okay. Then we're going to hear it back and be like, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed a little.
Oh, we have an announcement before we jump in.
What?
We have an announcement that starting next week, we're going to be switching the format to every other week of Café con Chisme.
Oh, boo.
Boo. You guys suck. No, you know, it's a lot. We love to do this and we love to do it for you and
we do
put stuff out, but it's a lot of work and it's just the two of us. We don't get paid. So we thought, let's not run ourselves thin. And so starting next week, we'll be doing new episodes every other week versus every week because the girls got to live.
Yes.
So just a little heads up.
Yeah, there's going to be some new announcements coming soon, and you'll know why, like, our lives are going to be really busy coming up, specifically my life.
Oh, my God.
And Sebastian's life, too.
Yes.
But,
more on that.
Yeah, it's going to have to be every other week now so that we can make sure we can continue to do this while still chasing our other passions and our other dreams in life, right?
And to do it well, I think it would be better to do it every other
week. Because we're doing it and doing it and doing it well.
Well, do it. You're doing it well.
No.
I know what you're doing. I know.
But you're not doing it well. Okay.
So rude.
I'm just kidding.
How are you doing? How's your life? Where's your head at?
Where's your head at?
We're so musical today.
I'm telling you, this is a musical. What is it called? It's association game.
Okay. We're really good at that.
Yeah, we are. So I'm a little bit everywhere.
Okay.
I feel like I'm excited to share with you all some new things in my life, but I want to wait to kind of just like give you the punch with all the information needed. So I'm going to wait a little bit to share all the information on here because this feels a little bit more concrete and
official
and permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Where my live videos where I go and talk about this all the time and then hop off and
they
don't
fly away after a day.
They just go into intergalactic space and no one hears about it again.
Mm.
So, yeah, other than that, things are good. I'm just really busy like a mother. But
you're a busy bee, buzzing away.
But, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about a lot of things.
You have a reading group coming, or a She Reads meeting coming up, don't you?
Yep, the book club. We have a book club meet on May 26th. It'll be at 11 a.m. at Central Park in Uptown Whittier. We'll be reading the book Attached. It's called Attached, The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love. And it is written by Amir Levine and Rachel S.F. Heller. I've started reading it already. It's an amazing read so far. I think anyone can benefit, even if you're not looking for love, even if you're not in a relationship, you don't believe in relationships, whatever. I feel like it's a better understanding of like romantic experiences we have.
I probably should read that. It sounds important for my
I don't know why you haven't ordered it. The book club is in less than a month and you haven't even ordered the book.
Maybe is there an Audible? Maybe I'll do an Audible this time. I want to try that version.
Yeah, there's always easy way outs for everything.
That's the Capricorn telling the Pisces about easy way outs.
Right. Do the work.
You're right. Should we jump into some stories or did you have more announcements before
we... Let's jump in with two patas.
Pa' adentro. Not pa' fuera. No pa' fuera today. Okay, so this is not a new news story, but it's new because we haven't talked about it on this show.
Okay.
But recently, Mecha, which used to stand for Movimiento Estudiantil Chicanx de Aztlán, had a national conference a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Where the students announced to change the name.
Right.
The name change that they voted on would drop the word Chicanx and Aztlán. So now it would be the Movimiento Estudiantil.
Okay, what's the new acronym?
I don't know. I'm me? Me?
Okay.
I'm not sure. They dropped the other stuff. So
I heard something about a MEPA with a P instead.
I haven't seen that.
I don't know, man.
Okay, so they did this because here's what they said, the students who voted for this. They thought that they were trying, or there's a variety of reasons, including distancing themselves from the Chicano label, including the which includes the perception that it excludes non-Mexican national origins, immigrant status, or generation. So, and a lot of the Chicanosauruses, and not even just them, just like a lot of folks who have been in Chicana and Chicano studies over the years, felt that the name change was not a right move because they were saying this is erasing the legacy and the history of the movement from where this organization first started in 1969 when the Plan de Santa Barbara was written at UCSB.
Okay.
What are your, do you have thoughts? Do you have perspectives on this?
Of course. I feel like I have bodies about everything. But I feel like for this specifically, I think there's two things, right? I think the first is figuring out what the ultimate goal and the ultimate objective of this organization is.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the objective? Is it to promote like the, you know, Chicanx Aztlán narrative solely? Is it to define Chicanidad as something different than what, you know, is assumed when we see the words Aztlán and Chicanx together?
Mm-hmm.
Is it allowing for the definition of Chicanx to include a political one and not an ethnic one? Because if that's the case, then I can understand where it would be upsetting to do away with the name.
Right.
Right? Because if the objective is to only... is to open up the doors for true Chicanidad, which is like a political framework, right? A political ideology that is for the liberation of people that are marginalized, which is my understanding and definition.
Right.
So if that's the case, then that should be the ultimate objective. And if folks that are marginalized are feeling that Mecha, having the title that it had before, was marginalizing them further or leaving them out of the conversation, then its ultimate goal should only be to make sure that everyone feels included.
Right.
Its ultimate goal should not be to like maintain the legacy and history only, because that is also important, but that does not erase the other.
Right.
Right. So both things can exist together.
Yes.
The new name and the legacy of all the work that they did.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that the move is to erase the, I mean, and I will add an addendum or memo to that saying that the history, while important, also is problematic in that historically women and LGBT folks were excluded from being in leadership roles in the movement back then.
Right.
Right. And we know that too. So I think you can remember the history, make note of the history, and not erase the contributions and the major inroads that the movement did back then. And even into today. And this is part of, I'll save my what else I want to say for things that make us go out today, because it's kind of related. But at the core of it, this is a student-led organization. And so if the students are the ones initiating the change, then we should follow suit.
Right. I need all the alumni to just have a seat and understand that you will be invited to the banquet regardless. But right now, the point of this organization is to be progressive, forward thinking.
Right. And the students. Yeah.
Big question mark.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Well, según. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So if that is the ultimate goal, then your banquet shouldn't matter as much as it does to you.
But I think it's because they don't want to. They think that they're not seeing themselves in it anymore if that change happens. You know what I mean? Like,
which
is so like egocentric and thinking about why is this like, what is the whole point of this? And what is the whole point of the movement? And also like the movement looks different. While there are a lot of parallels to what's happening today, there are different issues and we have different tools now, you know, 50 years later,
right,
that we need to be mindful of. And the same way that Chicano was not welcomed in the 60s by a lot of people and throughout time, right? A lot of folks have always rejected Chicano because it's associated with being radical or, you know, it's associated with being like, not problematic, but
a
like
cholo, I feel like.
Right.
It was connected to like slum and thugs and,
right,
and things that white people called Mexicans, right?
But even within like Latino and Mexican communities, right? Because mm-hmm. even think of, you know, our grandparents or our grandfather.
No, yeah, it was a lot of internalization.
Was like you telling my mom and our aunts and uncles when they were teenagers, like, you guys are not Chicanos, right? Like, son Mexicanos, which is a whole other thing. But in terms of like the resistance to change, I'm like, how can you be resistant to change and evolution? That's the whole point, mm-hmm. right? To be moving forward. So
I feel like we can use this the way that we use U.S. history, right? Mm-hmm. It's terrible. There's a lot of things that happened in order to get us where we are today. Can we value those things and take them and call them what they are and give them their place? Absolutely.
Right. Right.
Does that mean that because you sacrificed your life to a movement that you're free of criticism or they can't be critiqued?
Right.
Absolutely not. Right. And that's the point. You yourself, I'm speaking to the folks that have a problem with this,
yeah,
should be open to critique for the very purpose of being, calling yourself a progressive forward machista, right?
Right.
So
sure,
there's a lot of ironic hypocrisies happening here.
Book beat this. Some other stories in the news this week. A group of white nationalists, a.k.a. white supremacists, protested a book reading in Washington this weekend of a Jewish author, Dr. Jonathan Metzl, who just released a new book called Dying of Whiteness, How the Politics of Racial Resentment is Killing America's Heartland.
First of all, I live for like white progressive book
right.
titles.
All
you
the,
know
Tim,
me.
The Tim
Tim
Wises
Wise.
Of
you
the
know
world.
I used to live for Tim Wise back in the day.
Oh my God! So I'm not really sure what you know. Okay, sorry, I do know. Metzl's book talks about how lower and middle class white Americans are, quote, drawn to politicians who promise to improve their lives, but who promote policies that place white Americans at greater risk of illness and death. So what does that mean? His research found that white Americans who reject things like expanding Medicaid will die younger.
Well, we knew that. We yeah. knew that because the people that are for it, right? Either you're really rich or you're really poor.
Right.
And so you're ignorant in both ways.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is going to be able to pay at right. the end of the day if
yeah,
they get sick or not.
Of what happens.
Right. The other one is not. And there's a lot more of the ones that cannot afford it
exactly.
than there are the ones that are. So you played yourself.
Again, as always. So this group of men starts chanting, this land is our land, in the book
I'm
reading.
Triggered. And I'm fucking triggered. We used to have to sing that song every day, girl.
Oh, every day?
In Murphy Ranch, we used to sing that all the time.
Mm, they were really about patriotism at that
wow.
school, remember?
Yes.
When you, never mind, I'm going to share.
What, when I dress like Richard Nixon, bitch? Go ahead and call me out. I was fourth grade.
Fifth grade is when you do the president, no?
That's absolutely incorrect. I was in third grade because I was in Miss Greg's
okay,
class.
Well, I played myself because I wrote my president report on Richard Nixon.
And I wrote it on JFK, so he's still trash, but at least he's a Democrat.
Oh, my God. Anyway, the traumas of public schooling in, like, upper, you know, like middle class neighborhood.
I'm sorry, but I was bending genders in I'm just sorry to digress, but everybody got to choose whatever famous person,
like anyone.
Anyone, y'all, anyone. And the two famous people, you're gonna die.
What?
The two famous people that I dressed up as,
uh-huh.
right? One was Richard Nixon. Right, because
okay.
I just thought it was cool that he was from Whittier or that he went to Whittier College or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I was young. I didn't know. No
right,
one,
right.
No
she
one
was a child.
Steered me in a different direction.
Okay.
The second one was Cesar Chavez. And I wore like yours or dad's guayabera or something.
Wow. Look at the critique of like patriarchy, the critique of Republican politics, the critique of toxic masculinity at like age 8, 9.
Right. That's why I believe in my heart of hearts in astrology and that Capricorns are truly the father of the sign because I didn't know.
What is happening over here?
It was a whole ass mess.
Okay. Well, all of this to say about this. Okay, that's the other thing. So then I don't want to call it a protest either because these white men are just being disruptive, right? Like we're talking about the rhetoric that those Chicana students in Arizona were being called for being disruptive towards like Border Patrol agents.
Yeah.
Like this is actually disruptive because it was a book reading. You know what I mean?
Like
at
the
little bookstore, it was like a small crowd. It was mostly like older folks in the audience. Like, they let the white liberals in Washington alone. Like, they're just trying to have their meeting.
I would never.
And these like...
Don't quote him.
I know. I'm just kidding. Fuck him up. Not like violently. Just, you know. But digging myself deeper. And it was all men. That was the last part of that. Like,
of course.
So it's like when you're... protest, Sagun, quote unquote, is all white men of different ages too, mind you.
But if Check I can yourself. Add, I feel like it's a little eerier when it's white men with white women. I feel like that's when you know the KKK is involved.
Oh, because you expect that from white men or something? I mean, I expect it from white women too, but they're not maybe as visible about it.
They're absolutely not visible about it. When white women show up too, you know they're fucking
KKK. Oh, that's true.
KKK
like all the ones that voted for Trump, but were like supposedly Hillary supporters.
Te digo.
They continue us down. Anyway, that was it on that story.
Okay, so I watched, have you got a chance to see Knock Down the House?
I have not seen it yet.
I'm so sad that you have not yet.
Didn't it just come out?
It came out. I stayed up until midnight last night because as soon as it came out, I watched
You're
it.
You're acting like it's been out for weeks. I should have seen it by now.
I guess I was more excited about it than you.
I am excited. I just haven't seen it.
No, I was like waiting for the day. And okay. I was like, what if it's 3 hours ahead like New York time? So I was like checking at like 9 if it was up. I don't know how Netflix knows where you are in the country, but
because of your IP address when you log in.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's directed by Ava DuVernay, right?
Yes.
Okay. I know that much. Yes. And I've seen it and I've heard about it. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. So it's an absolutely like earth-shattering, like perspective blowing. It actually follows other women too, so not just her. So
well, she's a director, I mean.
No, not it, just AOC. Oh. Sorry, I didn't say that.
Oh no,
before.
Wrong thing. I'm sorry. Totally wrong, different documentary.
Yeah, I didn't want to say I don't think so because I didn't know, so I didn't want to correct you if I
saw
didn't know
both,
the answer.
They both just came out, though. Sorry, wrong one.
Okay, so Knock Down the House is about AOC's path to victory, and it follows her campaign, and then it ends with her. But then it also follows the woman who was running in St. Louis and the woman who's running in West Virginia.
Okay.
And so it follows all of their stories. AOC won, so at the end it's like her victory, but it really, not that she already has not humanized herself enough, because I feel like she's the most relatable politician I've ever seen, but I feel like this really puts a different side. I saw what her partner looked like.
Oh.
I had no idea, right? But it was also super eye-opening in the fact that like it really truly matters. The people that are closest to you have to have complete buy-in into what you're doing, and the ultimate goal for the people closest to you has to also be your victory. Has to also be like their end goal too, because that changes everything.
Right.
I mean, like her partner, her family, her friends, like she had a team of people that also worked on this too. Like that was what they dedicated that year to. And so it was just so beautiful. She talks a lot about how her father inspired her and he passed away while she was in college, but she shares that she begged and begged and begged to go on this trip. And he was trying to go on a guide trip, right, with his buddies. And she begged and begged. So it was 5 men and her, a 5-year-old girl, right? He decided to let her go. And they went on a road trip and they stopped in front of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And she got out and she basically he showed her like all this belongs to us because this is our government, but we own this. Mm-hmm. Like this is yours.
Mm-hmm.
So never let anyone tell you that it's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's saying this, crying in front of it. And this was 5 days after she had won the election. So it's like one of the most moving things I've seen in a while. I recommend, even if like you're not really into politics, it's a really eye-opening, empowering thing. And it's not so much about her right? Mm-hmm. As it is about the hope and like the fire that she promotes and that she offers people, right? Like there's a possibility if you just do the right thing and stay authentic to yourself, there's still a possibility, no matter how big these political machines are, right, that you're opposing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. I need to check it out.
For sure. Speaking of politics.
Yes.
So, I don't know if I mentioned last time that Joe Biden has officially entered the race.
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm going to put my opinion on this. Mm-hmm. You can offer your opinion as well, obviously. But he entered the race. He's not even speaking clearly. I know he's really old. And I'm not sure if he's older or younger than Donald Trump. But I know he's like...
I'm the same age.
He's really old.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like he's been... recorded doing speeches and at rallies, and he's only running on the idea that he is the best opposition to Donald Trump.
Okay.
And I don't think that's enough. I feel like everybody does not like Trump. Like that is it's a very low bar, and it's a very like low standard. Mm-hmm. And it's one that everyone has met.
Right.
Especially from the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
And he humbly denied, and I use humbly in quotations, Obama's endorsement because he knows that everyone still loves Obama and that he feels like it wouldn't be fair to other candidates Obama endorses him. I really feel like he thinks he's got it in the bag. And that is really unfortunate if everyone just gives it to him because of his history in politics.
Right.
Because if we dig a little deeper, he has come out saying some pretty awful things about young quote-unquote criminals,
right,
like harsher laws, harsher policing, harsher sentencing. Like he just changed recently, and he's actually attempted to run for a lot of different offices multiple times and failed. And I think Obama having him be his vice president was the thing that really transformed his career. So I don't think it's fair that he's riding the coattails of the first black man to be in office. And that's also not enough for me to vote for you.
Oh, of course not. Yeah. You know, I think that's something, it's like mediocre white men thinking they, again, doing the bare minimum because feeling overly confident, even though they're fucking mediocre as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like that coupled with all the different allegations and the videos. Not that just allegations, the videos of him being gross and touching women of all ages, mm-hmm. including children, inappropriately and too closely.
Right.
I don't see how that's different. I mean, it is different in the way that like Trump was like speaking about women and stuff. But it's also like, how can you can't say one is better or worse because if they're harassing or being offensive to women or touching women inappropriately. There's no nuance for that.
Right.
Right?
There's like, no better or worse.
No. Like, you're just as bad at that point. And I don't, like, I think I said it before, I don't see anything presidential about him. And what I think is scary, though, about the whole riding Obama's coattails is how white liberals, or just liberals in general, Democrats, have really turned him into, like, cuddly Uncle Joe and have, like, totally romanticized the bromance between him and Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, and I know we've talked about that before here, but it's just, like you're saying, not enough for me to jump on that train.
And I think it's really lazy, and I think it's really irresponsible, too, for voters to approach it in that way.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they may know what he's going to be like since he's been in the White House already. And being the president and the vice president are two very different things.
Right.
And I think what we also don't see as civilians on this side is how cozy he is with other white conservatives in Washington.
Right.
Right. Like he is loved on both sides. Yeah. And to me, that's always
a bad sign.
And it has a lot to do with like his sons being in the military. Right. And his sons losing his life.
That's always
serving his country, right?
That's always like that's where they meet.
That's the bridge.
Always.
Yeah.
Is the military.
Military, for sure. So I really encourage you all to go out there and figure out exactly where all of these different candidates stand. Obviously, as more information comes in, we'll have more to debate and talk about.
Right.
But I definitely would be wary of selecting Joe Biden as the next president of the United States.
We have one more story, right? And then we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
The next story is from Latina Magazine. Oh, wait, there's two more stories. Sorry. Latina magazine released their Bellezas. You know how they do their annual
the pretty people.
Bellezas Latinas, mm-hmm. the 100 or 50 most beautiful people in the world or whatever.
Yes.
But they usually focus on like Latinx or Latino celebrities.
Whites.
this year, the cover includes Kate del Castillo, Nati Natasha, Natasha, I don't know how to say her name, Natty Natasha, Nati Natasha,
okay.
Gina Rodriguez, Isa Gonzalez, and Yalitza Aparicio. Mm-hmm. So pretty much no Black Latinas. And I feel like they were using Yalitza as Yalitza has been being used in a lot of these like mainstream Latinx or Latino, Latina media as like, oh, here's like an indigenous woman. Like, let's throw her in so that we can say we're being inclusive and showing different bodies and different colors or whatever.
Right.
I mean, to me, this is not shocking because people in Espanol, it's one of the most mainstream like Hispanic magazine publications.
Yeah.
It's also been around like 20 some years.
Right.
But the people, they, you know, it's like the Sofia Vergaras, the J-Lo's, the Estefans, you know, like all the really light skin Latinx celebrities. But it is so shocking that in this day and age, I mean, you have so many people that you can pick from, right, to like have. So just, you know, people in Espanol, you need to do better. There's no reason you can't have Black women, Black Latinx folks, Black Latinas, Afro-Latinas on your cover.
Right.
All right. Should we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a little break. And we'll be right back with some more achievements.
Special today, we have some phone calls coming in from listeners. So we have someone on the line.
I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, hi. Wisconsin.
What's up, Wisconsin?
Hey.
What's up, Boo? What can we do for you tonight?
I have a really interesting question for y'all.
All right, go ahead.
When you were younger, did you ever imagine your life as it is now? Did you ever imagine yourself doing what you're doing today? How did that?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, you want to go first?
I think when I was younger, and younger can mean a lot of things. I'm taking like little girl status. That's what I'm taking the question as. But I imagined myself as a scientist.
Oh yeah.
I really thought that I was gonna like find the cure for cancer. And so as time goes on, like as time went on and things evolved, like obviously young girls are always pushed out of science and math, right? So I felt like that wasn't for me. And little by little, like I found other passions and this is where I've arrived. It definitely wasn't the plan, but I love it.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, similarly, when I was little, I think I wanted to be an entertainment, actually, before I wanted to be, like, a teacher ever. Like, and it's kind of funny because when we were kids, like, we would make videos with our cousins. I would be, like, the director and record them on our video camera. And, like, and Yaz and, like, some of our other cousins would do, like, music videos and plays and, like, all kinds of entertainment for you. We were, like, 10 years old or I was, like, 10 years old. So it's kind of funny that we're doing the podcast now because I feel like it's in a way an extension of that kind of creativity that we were really interested in as kids and like are getting to do it in a real way now. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Wow.
Thank
you. Great. And yes, I totally get where you're coming from. I'm a graduate student. I do research. I study viruses for a living.
That's awesome. So beautiful.
That's
and it's hard and I totally get it. And being in a workplace where there's literally no women of color and it's very isolating. But over time, I think that's getting better. And I really commend both of you for what you're doing, even though it's, you know, it's something that it's totally different from my realm, but I completely enjoy it. And I really just praise all your work and your hard work.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for calling in. We totally appreciate you. It's nice to know we have listeners out in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So,
yeah, for sure.
Yes. Have a great night, Boo, and thank you so much for calling in.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Okay, we have another caller. Hello.
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 Who is this?
My name is Lena.
Hi, Lena.
Oh my God, I'm scared. I was like the one who was like, oh my God, I'm so scared to call.
Oh no, Lena, where are you calling us from?
I'm originally from the Bay Area, California, but I moved to Salem, Oregon not too long ago.
Okay.
And I'm just here chilling.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you have a question or comment for us tonight?
I actually do have a question that's been like really bothering me.
Okay.
And I feel like you guys would be like really sorry. I'm holding my 7-month-old son. He keeps like trying to do stuff.
Oh, cute baby.
Trying to talk at the same time. But I had like watched this video on YouTube. It just like randomly popped up on my feed or something. And it was about this person like interviewing Latinos in New York. And I guess the question was like, oh, do you consider a Latinx person really Latinx if they speak Spanish or if they don't speak Spanish?
Mm.
And there was like some people who were being like, no, you can't be proud to be Latinx because you don't speak Spanish fluently. And that really like hurt my feelings because my dad is the Latinx person because I'm like half.
Uh-huh.
So he kind of like, my parents got divorced and he kind of just like, you know, left and I never had a relationship with him really until just recently. But he was the one who, sorry.
Oh, no, no worries.
Oh, the baby.
He was the one who spoke Spanish fluently. And I feel like if he was in my life, I would have been bilingual.
Right.
I wouldn't have had to teach myself. So I felt like it was a little unfair for people to be like, oh, you can't be proud to be Latinx because you don't speak Spanish fluently.
Absolutely. In my opinion, you do not have to speak Spanish to consider yourself Latinx. And I don't think that takes away a bit of your Latinx card if you speak Spanish or if you don't.
Right.
So, hopefully that doesn't, I'm sure that hurt you and that was hurtful, but I hope you don't take that as like the truth because you are just as Latinx as anybody.
Right. And I think it also follows similar patterns of like folks who don't speak English correctly and are not called like American, right? Or like, you know, we get that narrative around immigrant folks or folks whose English is not their first language. So let people speak how they speak, whatever way they speak, whatever languages they speak, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I guess it's been bothering me because I feel super bad. Like,
right.
Just like, wow, I didn't get a chance to be bilingual growing up because my, you know, father wasn't around.
Right.
That wasn't really my choice.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to hang around my, you know, Latinx part of my family because of my mom. So it was like,
Well,
it was always just like,
yes.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, girl. So don't let anybody try to tell you what your identity is. Do you, boo, and keep being the badass mother and balancing all this other stuff that you do with your life because that's what's important, not what other people's opinion is. So fuck them all.
Thank you so much for your question. Thanks for listening. And we love you for it. Thank you.
Oh, I love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
We have another call coming in. Okay.
Hey, it's Alexis.
Hey, boo.
Alexis.
How are you guys? What's up?
Lex?
Lex was our MC for our live show back in November. She's a dear friend of ours. She's been, Yaz and her go way back to your college days, no?
Yes.
Let's say
long.
How are you doing tonight, boo?
I'm good. I'm just
doing
some Caucasian lifestyle with cauliflower, and I'm trying to Yasmin's recipe. She had one like a buffalo style one. So
yes. Okay, girl. You got the wine and the.
Yes, girl. I have my wine for it.
And the cauliflower crispin.
Yes. But I was listening to Estamos Bien, and I know that you guys talked about Someone Great, and I literally just finished it like 30 minutes ago.
Oh my God, did you like it?
I did, but like I kind of agree with a lot of the things that you guys said about it in terms of like the three friends being kind of forced, like ethnicity-wise. I kind of felt that. I mean, it was cute overall.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did feel a little, it's a small world with the selection.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, the white girl, the black girl, I don't know what you know. Like,
right.
This is America, supposedly, right?
Yeah. But it was cute. I love, like, I agree with you, Seb, on, like, the soundtrack. Like, the music was really dope.
It was. It was. They knew their audience with that soundtrack, for sure.
And I was dying. Like, I purposely wanted to watch it because you guys mentioned some girl at the bus stop in the beginning. And I was like, what on the earth are they talking about with that?
Wasn't that hilarious?
It was so because she was like
that.
I was like, I'm sorry, I gotta go now. I'm on
right, she's like, okay, I'm over it.
Yeah. Our short attention spans. All right, but well, it was so lovely to hear your beautiful voice. I hope we get to see you very soon.
You will. I'll
all right. Okay, love you,
love
Lex.
You so much, sis.
Love you.
Is someone there?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my God, I'm on.
Who are we talking to?
Hi, my name is Kai
Smith. Hey, Kai.
Hi.
How are you, boo?
I'm good. I saw that you guys were taking calls. So I was like, ooh, let me call.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, boo. How are you?
I'm good. I'm at work, so hush, hush.
Don't worry. This will come out later. They won't know when it happened.
Right. Perfect.
Go ahead.
What's going on? So, I have a question for you guys. Because obviously, for my work, you guys know, I work for an organization for HIV, things like that. So I would love to hear your guys' opinion on what do you think would have been the best way for someone to talk to you guys about sex and learning about your sexual health and, like, getting tested? And when do you think it would have been the best time to do it?
That's an amazing question, because we were just talking about that, actually.
We were.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yes, wavelength.
I know.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
I mean, I remember the first sex ed, I think, was in fifth grade, where they give you, like, the little, like, starter kits with, like, the deodorants and, like, all that stuff. And then I feel like it wasn't until seventh grade that I got, like, the full, like, biology class, like, science class sex ed. Mm-hmm. I was, back then they weren't talking about LGBT sex ed, like, queer sex ed for folks who were queer LGBT. I think that's about the right age, right? Like, when you're hitting puberty, like, you should learn about safe sex practices and your body and how your body works and what sex means, and not just about reproduction and procreation, like sex for pleasure and how to be safe while having sex for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's like rules in different schools and, about what is appropriate, and the parents have to sign consent forms and all that stuff. But I think the sooner the better. I feel like a lot of stuff that I learned about sex happened as an adult, just because I have so many friends in, like, the HIV prevention field, that I, even as an adult, like, was like, wow, I didn't know a lot of things that now I'm like, and I think a lot of folks don't know, especially when it comes to issues related to queer sex. So
yeah, for sure. Honestly, I agreed with you. And then I went to Cuba in 2011, 2012, mm-hmm. and we went to go visit an elementary school. And these were little girls that were like 4 and 5 years old. And they were sharing with us. They had just learned about anatomy, right, in kindergarten, a kindergarten preschool. And they knew all of like the scientific terms, like the vagina, like the anus, the penis, right? And that was like, to me, like such a beautiful, like, awakening moment where you're like, this idea that it's taboo or that it's attached to something dirty is totally like our society. Like, how much more empowered are these young kids that know exactly their boundaries, what these what their parts are, right? What they do. And to be able to name them also means to be able to say, like, no, you can't, right?
For sure.
So I think, like, that could have been taken also a step further and introduce things like the importance of,
like, consent.
Consent
boundaries.
And getting tested and being healthy about it, right? Like, all those things. I feel like if I ever have kids, I'd probably be talking to them as soon as, like, we can formulate sentences together.
Right. Especially when it comes to their body. That's so important.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks for calling in, Kai. Kai, do you want to tell folks, since you, unless you don't want to share where you work, but where people, because they provide a lot of services for folks.
Yeah, of course. So I work for an organization called APLA Health and Wellness. We're an HIV and wellness kind of organization. So we started in the 80s. We were one of the first in California, and actually now one of the biggest in California that deals with HIV prevention and care and research and legal things for HIV. I work in the prevention department on a team called Healthy Him. So I work with young men of color, ages 18 to 30. I specifically work for gay and bisexual men. So we do incentivized testing. So you can get tested, get paid $50 if you ask for a checklist. So it's a HIV test, full STI screening. So that's gonorrhea, chlamydia, gonorrhea, chlamydia. We do a syphilis check and an anal swab and a throat swab. And we talk about PrEP and PEP. You walk out with $50 Target gift card. We pay.
I should go.
That is so dope.
Yeah. So that's if awesome. Anyone is interested, we're at my office is in South LA, so we're at 3741 South La Brea. And then you can also give us a call at 323-795-5997 or follow us on social media at Healthy Him.
Come on, Kai. I love that.
Thanks
for calling in. Thanks for doing that amazing work out there, Boo. And we will see you very soon. We love you.
Yes, we love you. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, y'all. So like we said, there was a little bit of some surprises there, something a little bit different. We love to include you all. We do this because of you all. So thank you so much for calling in, for those that called in. We may do this again.
Yes, sure.
This was so much fun for us. So look out for that.
Yes.
Like we always say, love yourself, love your life.
And remember, you know more than you think you know.